Okay, guys, quick reminder, if you haven't already, sign up for our game-changing Wheelit e-letter. It goes out to hundreds of men across the world. It's powerful insights sent every week to maximize your mindset, body, and performance. Right, let's jump in.
Whole Man Academy. Because the world needs strong men. Whole Man Academy is changing the game for men around the world. It's for guys who want to live an epic life of fun and adventure. No matter what. We believe, deep down, all men want to go on their own hero's journey to becoming resilient, confident, fearless, and fulfilled. Listen in to be inspired by guys who don't settle for living a life of mediocrity. This is your call to action and call to adventure. Are you ready?
So this is the Whole Man Academy podcast, episode 123. My guest today is Kyle Carnahan. I've checked his name so I don't fuck it up. Founder of Superhuman Fathers. We're going to get into that. Also fireman, musician, skateboarder, father, effective body and mind transformation coach. So brother, how are you? Where are you?
Where are we, man? Where are we in time and where are we in life, right?
Deep question. Life.
In time, I'm 42 years old, five kids. Four boys starting from 16, 14, 10, 7. Then we have a two-year-old complete accident girl. Like, rocked my goddamn world, bro.
Yeah.
So that's where we are in life. And where we live is San Diego, California, in the States. And raised here, surfing, skateboarding, punk rock life, you know?
Love it. Like, action-packed life. And I think that's, I mean, to state the obvious, the weather's a lot better than it is in the UK. I mean, it's about 4 degrees here and it's Friday afternoon. And, you know, I've been wearing a hoodie all day because it's fucking cold. But I just wondered for you, I mean, you've got a lot going on at the moment. When you've got to say, you've got family, obviously partner, you've got the business, all these different things going on. Where did Superhuman Fathers begin? Because I think it's such an interesting concept and it's very kind of aligned with what we've tried to create in the Whole Man Academy, which is ultimately not just about like health or fitness, but helping a guy basically, you know, kind of improve his whole life.
Yeah, man. When you're living it and you don't see it in others, you don't really see how important each aspect of your life is connected to the other. So you live this life and I've been living this life a long time, like a disciplined life where I'm really focused on progress and having good relationships and progressing in my income, building my kingdom, building my body, getting smarter about what nutrition, just that was my obsession. That was my life. And I thought I was just a below average kind of dumb dude, you know, blue collar fireman. So that was my life, humbly going through life, learning from people. Mm. Well, I started to open my mouth a little bit and started getting people asking me questions. And what I found was, man, you guys are fucked up out there. Really, really, really fucked up. And I really care about you people. Like, I really do. Like, it hurts me to know what goes on behind closed doors and to know how difficult it is for these guys to break out of their personal darkness and be stuck.
Yeah.
And want progress and then make commitments and then not follow through again and feel like a failure, start to hate themselves, lose their respect, lose respect to their wives, lose respect to their kids. And now they're coming home from a job that they fucking hate, working with people that they hate, and then bringing that home to their family and just spewing negativity all over their kids for their entire life. Then they get old and then husband and wife, they either get divorced or they fucking hate each other and then they die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the majority of people.
We call it a silent struggle.
I didn't know how bad it was out there. I had no idea. And I didn't know how different I was. But I'm fucking different. Very, very different. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. And at what point, because how many years, or what age, I should say, did you start as a fireman?
I was actually, I went to EMT school when I was 28 years old.
Right.
Little later, and I didn't get hired full time. I was volunteering, but I didn't get hired full time till 30, and I'm 42.
Were you interested in from a young age, like optimizing your let's say health, fitness, you know, having low body fat, being muscular from a young age, or because some guys, there's something that happens in their life that makes them interested in it. But for others, they've kind of, like maybe like yourself, always been interested in it. And it's amazing how much knowledge you'll have gained over those 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, Hulk Hogan, freaking Ultimate Warrior, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, bro. Every video game, Contra, like every cartoon, every video game when we were kids, they were all jacked dudes. He-Man. To me, I was just like, I got to be jacked. But I found myself in my 20s and I was like looking in the mirror and I'm like, I'm not jacked. I was like, I'm not. And I'm like, how do you do this? So I'd like eat protein and shit and I'd lift weights and it just nothing would really happen. So then after 2 weeks, I'd be like, it just doesn't work. And then I'd be off a month and then I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna try again. Then I'd do like a month and then I'd be like, doesn't work. Then I would quit for 2 months. And then, you know, nobody told me like, hey, bro, like, no, you got to go every day for years.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that. I just figured genetically I couldn't do it.
Yeah, wasn't working.
And then what do you know? Show up every day, go to failure on every set for 5 years and make sure you know exactly your carbs, fats, and proteins you're eating every day and they're built in for a plan. Do that for five fucking years. Watch it. Watch what happens to your body. Yeah. Like, and don't miss. That's the power of consistency in a relationship, in a business, in building your body. It's like, that's the magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know that.
I think it's so important because I tell you what always makes me laugh sometimes when you'll hear women that say, oh, if I go to the gym, I don't want to get too big and bulky. And I'm like, listen, do you know how many men are desperate to, you know, like you say, hitting the gym, eating all that stuff. And it's so hard. But yeah. You know, I found years of that. So I had a collapsed lung when I was about 20 and I was never particularly big. I was playing football and stuff like that, but I couldn't do any exercise at all for 6 months, which was really hard, more mentally than physically. And it was then that I was like, do you know what? I want to kind of get a, let's call it a cover model body where you actually had proper muscles. Yeah. But I loved that journey of learning and I realized how much I didn't know. And like you say, then probably 5 or 6 years into it, I realized that other guys would ask me and say, well, what do you suggest? Because there's so much conflicting advice out there.
I simplify everything. Like, that's why people hit me up and they're like, I'm like, you want some information on like body composition shit? Like, I can just give you the formula.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to join our coaching. Like, I can just tell you how to do it. You can get it off YouTube. You know,
it's all out there.
You know, so like people join us because they want to be around
other
savages, because I attract this kind of person to be around me that is very like-minded. And when you get in this magical place of people that are all this savage and this on this level of attack, like you can't help but progress. And so like membership into Superhuman Fathers, your greatest benefit is because you have coaches that are living this shit to the T and you're surrounded by other men that are fully committed. Where in your regular life, you're like, I'm going to try to get ripped. And people are like, that's dumb. Yeah. Who are you trying to prove something to? And you're like, I want to build a $100 million business. And they're like, you'll never do that. That's stupid. Why do you need that much money? And you know, and you're just like, I want to be the best dad ever. They're like, don't be the best dad. Just be a normal average dad. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what we're surrounded by. And that's what you will be. You're like, because you'll get talked out of it, you know? But I'm sorry, I totally went off on a tangent.
I'll tell you what, you've just hit on a point there is when you look at the, I'm very much less a fan of the media these days, but also the television programming, hence why it's called programming. But when you see how fathers are portrayed these days, especially in cartoons like your Homer Simpson and Family Guy and what have you, they're all fat, fucking stupid and useless, basically. And you just said it a minute ago, you look back at when you and I'm 40, I'll be 45 in a few weeks, or in a few months' time, I should say. So, you know, we grew up with similar TV viewing, and you would see your He-Man and people like that who were, you know, a mountain of a man. And now you look, and it's as if there's a kind of a slow drip agenda to, like, take masculinity away, basically.
Yeah, those cartoon characters are, you know, there's so many of them. They're just like idiot dads. It's like in the 80s, the dads were all jacked and just like crushing life. And then it was like late 90s into the 2000s, and they just turned into these little like fat fucks, you know? You know? We were talking about like what my advice for fitness is. So, like, very simple. Know your carbs, fats, and proteins. Like, know that.
Yeah.
Know how many you need for you. Download an app that calculates it, like MyFitnessPal or whatever. There's a couple of them out there.
Yeah.
And then input your food. Like, literally, that's the most important thing that someone can do to affect their body composition. And then focus on resistance training as your number one exercise. So anything above that, any cardio would be like, we call it a bonus burn.
Yeah.
And should you do that? Yeah, you should do that. Do you have to? No, you don't have to, but it is very good to do cardio. But make sure you get your lifting in. Lifting, best way I see is push pull legs, do like chest, shoulders, and triceps one day, and then back biceps, rear delts the next day. And then your third day, do legs, quads, hamstrings, glutes, calves.
Yeah,
just rotate that. Just rotate it.
Yeah,
you probably should take days off, but I don't, because days off happen. Shit goes down, right?
Yeah.
So
especially with kids, and I mean, we'll get onto that, because that's, I think, for the guys, the average guy listening to this, you know, will be kind of like 30 to 50 and has probably got kids, or maybe, you know, kids away and work, a job, all that stuff. And half the time it's balancing what, you know, what else you've got to do. And especially for guys, I worked in the city for years. So I used to get up at 5:30, get to my desk at 6:45 in the morning, stay there till 5 or 6, and then take clients out for the evening. You might get home at 3 in the morning and then you'd go back to work again. And even then, I still 3 or 4 days a week, if not more, still managed to find time to hit the gym, because I felt like I had to for my mind as well. So how do you help guys, you know, juggle the joys of work, health, fitness, eating the right things? Because preparation is part of it as well. And of course, partner, kids and everything.
Yeah, compress time, create time, time block. That's it. Create time, compress time, time block. Like you got to have systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll never do it. I mean, you want to be jacked and lean and feel good and eat healthy. You want to have an amazing, like, next level marriage that, like, people are like, how do you even have that relationship with your wife? You want to be this admired, respected, like, leader to your kids, where they're just like, damn, that's my dad, you know? And you want to make a fuck ton of money, right? That too. And you want to be spiritually connected too, right? You need to have time where you connect with your God. And so how do you do that? You got to have a wake-up time that is non-negotiable. And those mornings are so sacred. Every minute of those mornings are blocked. You know exactly what you're going to do at exactly what time in spirituality and production and fitness.
Yeah.
And like I'm... By 7 o'clock, I've done more than most people do in an entire week. I just have it planned out, and I'm so like practiced now. I'll have all my Instagram posts done.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have my meditation done. I'll have my own personal journal writing done, and I'll have part of my book written.
Yeah.
And I'll have a workout done where I worked out with my son and my wife. So we had that connection time. And I'm home by 7.
Yeah.
Getting kids ready for school.
So what time would alarm go off in the morning? And I always wonder, would you, because what temperature does it get to down there? Because obviously over here we've had, you know, a few weeks ago it was like minus 12 or something. So when you get up at that time in the morning, it's that much more of a struggle because it's fucking freezing than it is when it's dry and bright.
That's why I go right into a cold shower, because you're out there suffering and I'm here in warm San Diego. It's like, it's probably, I don't know, in the winter, I don't know, it's like 40 degrees or something.
Yeah.
I think about you winter people. I'm like, damn, that cold.
It is, you know? It does. And I know, you know, people can't use it as an excuse, but I certainly felt like it affected me, like in the winter when it would still be dark until 8 o'clock in the morning.
It is definitely a valid excuse. We say fuck your valid excuses, because your valid excuses are the things that are going to destroy you and hold you back forever. But it's definitely a valid excuse. I mean, that shit is no joke. When you wake up and it's like you won your warm bed, and the colder it is outside of your bed, the harder it is to get out, man. Yeah, but there is so much benefit to that. The more it sucks, the more you are adapting to suffering, the more you're going to thrive in any environment and crush anything. Because all of this shit we're trying to do, it requires sacrifice. It requires pain. It requires discomfort. Requires it. And so if we get really good at that, we're going to thrive. And so anytime you can put yourself in a position where you have to do some shit that you don't want to do that makes you uncomfortable, you're just going to get better at it. Mm. And you're going to be in the game. The thing with that level of like hopping in the shit, like, I don't care what you've done in the past. If you're not in it right now, in a regiment of just putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, you'll lose it so fast.
Yeah.
I think there's a muscle memory to it, but you will lose it.
I think that's one of the sad things for a lot of guys I speak to, is that, you know, sometimes you can look at how you used to be and realize one day you turn around and you've kind of diminished either mentally, physically, with your power. You'll laugh because I played football last week, as in soccer football, for the first time, like a proper match in 10 years. I do other stuff, but, you know, I haven't played for a proper team. And I was fucked after 20 minutes because it was a different fitness to my gym work. And a part of me was pissed off because, you know, sometimes the ball would be there and the 25-year-old me would have got that ball, but I'd just miss it, or I'd just mistime it or something. And I was like, fuck, like, this is the decline. But I think for a lot of guys also, I mean, you've got obviously lots of kids. What was it like during, especially when you, because what were the age ranges of them, did you say again? So at what point did you have little 16, kids?
14, 10, 7, and 2.
So those kind of years when you had, you know, maybe a newborn baby, then, you know, a 3 or 4 and maybe a 6-year-old. What was that like? And because did they sleep okay?
Savage, bro. I'm a savage. Dude, I work at a firehouse that like runs night calls. Then I come home to a baby that doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking savage. Like, you're not going to stop me. I don't care if I get sleep or not. I have shit I'm going to do and I'm going to show up. When you get that level of attack, when you make that level of commitment to yourself, life is on fire. You're unstoppable. So your future that you see, you have so much hope because you depend on yourself. You see, guys don't understand. They make excuses and they don't follow through. And all they're doing is fucking up their belief in themselves in the future. So me, all I see is a bright, beautiful, amazing, bountiful future, because I know I'll do the work regardless of what happens. But see, you start to doubt yourself because you don't show up and you don't follow through with what you say you're going to do. You start to doubt your future. Now, who else doubts their future? Your wife. They look at you and they're like, I don't know about this guy. I don't know if he's going to follow through. When I tell my wife something psychotic, like, hey, Superhuman Father is going to be $100 million empire, she's like, I know.
Yeah,
because she sees me showing up and doing the work. She knows that I'm going to make it happen. Regardless, I'll die trying. She knows that too. She's like, you might die, but it's either going to happen or you're going to kill yourself. Yeah. Yes. Well, that's not a healthy way to live, Kyle. Well, I don't want to be around pussies that aren't pushing it. Like, I don't want to get drained by their energy, right?
Yeah.
So I love people. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'll fucking die for you. I love you. But I only want to be around you if you want to be better. If you don't want to be better and you're already dead inside, get the fuck out of here. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to feel your energy. The second you light up and you're like, bro, I'm in. Let's go. I'm like, come on, I'll do anything for you.
Yeah.
But I cannot afford to have dead weight in my life.
You know? I think it's probably something that a lot of guys are lacking at the moment, because, and I said on a podcast just before Christmas with a chap called Neil Kramer, who is based out in Washington State, but actually from the UK. And I said, life is so easy for a lot of men at the moment. You know, we said before, you pick your phone up, order yourself a coffee, drop it to your door. You know, all your shopping can be delivered, anything you want be delivered. And you can sit and play your PlayStation and just not do a lot. And you're like, there's not a lot of, there might be some mental struggle, but there's certainly not much physical struggle for a lot of men. Yeah. And I wonder for you, with the Superhuman Fathers, are you then getting guys, you know, because part of it is like building community as well.
It's all community, the whole thing.
Getting those together. So do you then do like events where you either say camping or anything like that, where you're getting out all together?
So we have 6 roundtable meetings via Zoom and then 4 yep. open coaching hours. So there's 10 opportunities to connect. We're doing our first event in March, and we're gonna have 25 guys, and we're gonna teach them how to surf. It's gonna be rad because we have guys all over the country that don't go to the ocean or haven't ever surfed.
Yeah,
but we're gonna have a little surfcation. We'll have some speakers. We'll eat some good food and we'll do some breath work shit, which like I'm not a real hippy dippy dude, but I did some of that and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, if you ain't done that shit with someone who's good, who does breath work and have you do like the hyperventilation style breathing, like you'll see God.
See, what you've just said is so important, because I think for one of my big things in life now is realizing that you should try. I'm not saying you should try everything once, but don't write anything off. You
really should, man. Like open your heart and your mind and listen and like we say it all the time, get weird, get fucking weird. Don't put yourself in this box of like, well, yeah, no, that's dumb. Or, you know, like we say, and I'm like, don't get this wrong, but guys like us, they'll say, oh, that's gay, you know, which like I have zero problems with gays, whatever. Like I have employees, I have friends, like,
yeah.
But growing up in the 90s, like that was the term, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that shit's gay. And it's like, and that's like what I was ingrained. Like I went dancing with my wife the other day and I have this ingrained in my head of like, that's gay. And it's like, you're so brainwashed in this fucking box that it's going to not let you connect with your wife.
Yeah.
You know? So I've had to like completely deconstruct that and be around people that are just open-minded about like being the alpha that'll stand up and tear people's heads off. But at the same time, like you got to be open, loving, caring, approachable, and be open-minded, open-hearted, and like learn shit. You know,
you've got to be able to turn it on and off as well, haven't you? Because as you said, you know, you want there to be, especially with your kids, you know, my little ones are 5 and a half and 3 and a half. And they're little boys who are still trying to find out how the world works. And sometimes they need daddy energy. Sometimes they need mummy energy.
Yeah.
But sometimes I shout at them and I don't want to shout, but actually it's funny how they, I don't know, often they'll come up to me and it's trying to mix things up with them a little bit. Because if you just ask them softly all the time, they just basically walk all over you, which I find quite amusing. but we've got another baby arriving in April, so we'll have 3. Well, I don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl, but we'll have 3 by then. And only a man like yourself can understand the challenges of kids as well as juggling everything else. But I was going to ask you, with the fire service, I've interviewed 1 or 2 guys who have served for, and then since retired or were still actively serving. And what was that like as experience for you? Because to state the obvious, it's not just a job where you're just doing a job. At some point, you are risking your life. And I just wondered what that was like for you.
You know, the most stressful thing about that job was the social aspect of being in that tribe. Coming in and not knowing the rules or how the culture works and having a high respect for these men and then having them just fucking crush you, you know? Like, because you're under this microscope of everything that you do, they're watching and critiquing you. Most people are so terrified of critique. So now you're put in very high stressful situations where people's lives are on the line, decisions matter. And then you have this whole like tribe of savages that are just waiting to like destroy you for your stupid mistakes. But what does that do for you? It makes you invincible and hard as fuck, you know, because you get used to being under that level of scrutiny all the time, and that level of pressure, like an acute moment of stress, such an incredible education for me to be around those type of men and to have to deal with that when I'm not naturally that. Like, I'm not naturally someone who deals well under pressure. Like, I'm not naturally someone who steps up and leads. Like, that's not my, the way I was born or raised. So to have that now as a skill set that I can use as a father, and wife, as a business owner, man, I couldn't be more grateful to those guys that rode my ass and like made a grown man cry multiple times, you know, like, damn. But it was a great adventure. I'm still on the books. I really want to go back. I have 4 months of a leave of absence. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to juggle everything with the business and going back to the firehouse, considering the fact that like I do not need the income at all. You know,
what was the because again, it's the going in and dealing with people that are going through trauma as well. And I just wondered, how do you compartmentalize that and come home and have a normal, you know, hey, the kids are having dinner with me, when you've just dealt with maybe people dying or burning or all the different stuff that you have to deal with?
That is the whole reason why this started. Superhuman Fathers is based off that concept right there. Because when you come home after 3-4 days, minimal sleep, you just saw a kid get crushed by a car and die. And then, you know, you had some other bullshit happen. And then, and then maybe there was some drama in the firehouse with a relationship with somebody, because you're in this family of alphas. So you got relationship stress. You got the stress of the shit that you saw. And then you got the pressure of that. And then you come home to the family and you haven't slept. I would walk in the door sometimes and I would just be dead inside. I should want to see my wife and kids, but I didn't want to see them. I didn't care. I was just apathetic, man. I was just burnt out. My emotions were crushed. And so I would find myself starting to get very irritated very easily, immediately, as soon as I walked in the door, like to the point of like, I never was violent, but like definitely verbally on the edge of verbally abusive and wanting to be violent. Like I wanted to. And that was a trip, because I grew up a pretty like mellow kid. You know, so what I found was this power of getting outside of my own head and seeing myself from an outside view, and then having this conversation with myself. These are just chemicals in your head. They're chemicals. They don't run your life. You make the fucking decisions, right? Like, you are the leader to this family. And how are you going to earn your own self-respect? You're going to respond appropriately. And what is it that really matters in your life? The relationship with my wife and me controlling my emotional reactions with my kids. That's the only thing that matters. And so I took emotions out, put that as priority number one. And so in those moments, I would just remind myself, these are chemicals in my head. Mm-hmm. And just like on a call at the firehouse, when you get a fire or whatever, like there's objectives. And so my objective was, that entire day, to not snap, be sarcastic, or be a dick.
It's not easy.
No, it's not. It takes a high level of awareness.
Yeah.
And a couple things we found, what is the exact same awareness muscle that it takes? Same one to keep shit out of your mouth. The same one to stop yourself from having that extra beer. The same one that you use for any level of discipline to get yourself up early in the morning when you don't want to and you're groggy in the head. Awareness and action. And so I've been able to learn how to shake it off even amidst my own inner turmoil and still show up for my family, even though I'm all fucked up in the head in that moment. And I realized that's when we came up with the idea of our slogan: we do the most, we need the least.
Yes, gonna ask you about that. Yeah,
don't need shit, and that's it. I don't need anything from these people. I don't need anything from God. I don't need anything. I don't need happy feelings. I don't need anything for me. I'm here for the objective. And the objective is to be an epic father and an epic leader and to give my wife the man that she needs. That's it. So fuck my feelings. I don't care anymore. And guess what happens? Freedom.
Yeah, like
freedom. It just lets loose. It's like the tension releases. And then you're like, exactly what I didn't need, I just received. Yeah. And by serving them at such a level, your wife starts to do the same to you. And then you start to have these emotional moments of gratitude again. But you have to take a step in the dark, a step of faith, and just let go. Mm. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Like, you're still going to have moments of inner turmoil that you're going to have to deal with, but it will be less. It will. You will be released from that. And now, like I tell my guys, like, I don't want to take you away from the pain. I actually don't want to rescue you from the darkness. I want you to become that man amidst the darkness, amidst your pain, amidst your depression and your anxiety. I don't even care if you're depressed or anxious. Stop running from it. Just accept it. This is how it is. And then create the man that you need to be amidst that. And you'll find that it will actually start to dissipate.
You said about freedom. And I think for a lot of guys that I've spoken to on the podcast or through the Whole Man Academy, a lot of them are often, you know, kind of living as a shadow of what they could really be because they're worried about what other people think. And, you know, I would say, you know, it's not your job in life to make everybody happy. You know, ideally keeping those you love close to you happy. And also with social media these days, there's always the comparison of looking at thinking everybody else is doing better than you. But I wondered, now you've been married for, what is it, 20 years, 21 years?
20.
What has that always been? And I know that we'll say the word smooth sailing, but, you know, I know some people that seem to have very, up and down marriages. And I just wondered, you know, what's been like the challenges of marriage for that long, especially having kids and being a fireman and all that stuff as well, because it all brings its own tests to you.
It's lack of connection and laziness. Those two things fuck up your marriage. That's what I fucked up, just like every other dude. Because like, we'll come home from work and we're like, oh, we're so tired. We did it. We brought in the money. Socks are on the ground. Dishes in the sink. Trash isn't taken out. The kid's baby needs a diaper change. You know, just shit everywhere. And you're like, and then you start nagging your wife. Like, you can't clean this place up. You know, I work for this family. You can't clean this place up. You just fucked your whole life up. You just tore yourself away from your wife. And now you fucked up your whole life by that comment and even that attitude. If you were to come home with a smile and just give your wife a big hug and tell her, thank you so much for everything you do for this family amidst this shit hole of a house and dirty toilets. And you're in your head, you're just like, do you even do anything around here? Right. Again, but imagine being stuck at home with those kids all day. Right.
Yeah.
You come home, you take an hour and you just fucking clean the house. I know it's a crazy concept because, oh, well, do I have to do everything around here? You're a bitch and you're going to have a shitty marriage and your life's going to suck. Just clean the house and tell your wife you love her. Watch what happens, right? So that's one, serve. Never sit down when your wife is working. Don't be that asshole that sits on the couch and watches TV while his wife brings him a plate or plays fucking video games like an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
You fucking kidding me? Like, you have a family, you have a body to take care of, and you have money to make for your wife and your kids. You're setting an example. I'm not saying you can't ever play video games, but it better be with your kids for a purpose. If you're like, all right, the kids are asleep and wife's in bed, I'm going to play some games till 2 a.m. Like, fuck you. You're a terrible fucking father. Like, get your life together. Like my little brother, that was him. That was him before he got his shit together. If you look on my Instagram, you find my brother's transformation. Yeah, you'll see a picture of you before, and then you'll see a picture after when you started getting rid of the bullshit in your life. Yeah. And now he's the president of my company, runs my whole coaching program. He's changing people's lives every fucking day. Like, you want to live a life of impact that literally changes people's lives just with your presence? Start putting the baby shit away and focus on the things that are important.
Yeah. I think it's so important these days where, again, you'll have guys that will just be like gaming all the time and then say they haven't got time to work out. And you're like, really? Like, let's do a quick breakdown of what the fuck you do with your time. And if you haven't got time to work out, but you're sitting watching football for 2 hours, then even if you go and get a kettlebell and watch football whilst you're working out, it's better than nothing.
Sure, man. That's epic. Like, good for you. Like, the guy that does that, like, does his workout while he watches football, like, fucking rad.
Yeah. Bit of multitasking. Well, let's talk about not just fatherhood as in you being a father, but you'd written, you'd said on your Instagram, 30 years ago, my father would take me to the same beach. We had the same moment over and over again for years. It connected us in a way that few other things could. I craved those mornings. I loved my childhood and appreciate my dad's friendship. Now I pass that down to mine. I just wanted for you. So with your dad, what's your earliest memory of being with your dad? Because it's so important of how a boy's dad has shown up around them.
That was a very special writing for me because I've been giving my dad a lot of shit. I've been giving a lot of shit about being an old school dad, not helping my mom. And, you know, and if I really step back, I see a man that loved his kids so much that never raised his voice to his wife or his kids. Not once.
Yeah.
Not once. And here I am, you know, struggling to not be such an asshole to my wife and kids where he had it figured out. But all I could do is just bust his balls for what he didn't do. And I think we do that with our dads a lot. And so as I get older, I'm starting to see, you know, the amazing man that he was and the things I learned that I wanted to do better. And I hope my kids see the same thing in me, good and the bad. And they learn from the dumb shit that I do also, you know. But, yeah, my dad was my earliest memories are surfing, man. Surfing in these early cold mornings, and it was like the sun was just barely coming up and the water just looked like pure glass, and it was so magical as a kid to like have my wetsuit on and feel the water on my toes and push my board out and kind of like jump on it, you know, and skid on my board and then start to paddle.
Yeah.
And you get that first duck dive, and then the water is like, you get an ice cream headache when you first do the duck dive, you know, and the sun's poking up, and then I paddle right out next to this jetty and there's maybe like 15 guys out, but I just get right out to the peak because I just got around the jetty and I get the first wave and I drop in on this wave as just like a little kid. And I see my dad just beaming, you know, like, damn, that's my boy, you know,
I love it. Right,
this wave. And then he catches one and I watch him surf and like, he'll like hit the lip and spray me while I'm paddling out, you know, my big 250 pound, big ass dad, cutting back and spraying my face. So those are just special memories that, you know, I've now had with my kids, which just been passed down now, you know.
I think it's so important, and I've said on plenty of podcasts, a lot of the guys I've either done some coaching with or interviewed or what have you, like so much of their own childhood with their dad has shaped how they have kind of reacted to the world. And some of them that their dads weren't around, or they were around and they were fucking useless, they ended up being quite angry with the world. And you wonder sometimes whether actually, you know, whether they just wanted their dad at one point to say like, I love you or something like that. So I say that all the time to my kid. I just literally, my dad was here this afternoon. I mean, it's 4:45 now, but we had a door the lock had broken, and I tried, but I just couldn't get the fucking thing open. And I had to put that call in, but my dad was around within a couple of hours with his head torch and all his kit, and he managed to undo it. And I gave him a hug when he left, and you know, it's his birthday tomorrow. But I'm so lucky, and probably like yourself, to not just have a dad that you realize was there for you, but also that you have a chance to reflect on what they did and you know, what kind of how you can then pass it on to others. But I then wanted to go on to, I know you'd said, with Parker, so your son, as long as I'm not mistaken, you'd written he didn't know how to connect in his new man body. He needed quality time, adventure and challenge. If you're struggling to connect with your teenager, make sure you're living in a way that demands respect, not with your words, but your actions. So I just wonder if you could talk us through that, because I'm sure a lot of guys will have been or be either listening or watching this who will have teenage, either boys or girls. And, you know, no one writes a rule book on how it should go. So I just wonder if you could talk a bit about that, like the kids needing quality time, adventure and challenge.
Yeah. Like if you're a fucking weak little dork with nothing valuable to give, Like, your kids are not going to respect you. Like, so fucking build a life that they respect. Like, be the cool kid at school. That's your job as a dad. Well, that's dumb, Kyle. Like, I'm me. Well, be the best you that's savage as fuck so that your kids are like, I want to be like my dad.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, and what does that take? That just takes developing yourself mm-hmm. into a very confident, consistent, dependable, skillful, and valuable man. Just takes time and effort and consistency. Build that man so that your kids can look at you and respect you, so that your wife can look at you and be proud and respect the man that you are. But see, if you ain't proud of yourself, and you know, like, you look in the mirror, like, am I doing it?
Yeah.
Like, if you're disappointing yourself, so is everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So build the man that you're proud of. You know, this concept for some reason gets so lost. It's very strange. We sit here and just make excuses why we can't do shit rather than being like, we have to do this. We have to become this. My greatest gift to my wife and my kids is me. So why wouldn't I create somebody very, very special and different for them?
Mm.
You know, like, that's the key to this thing. Otherwise, when you talk, they ain't going to fucking listen to you because they're like, I don't want to be like you. Like, you're talking and like, you should do this, you should do that. And they're like, okay, I'll do all the opposite of things of that because then I might turn out like you.
Yeah. It's so important that I was doing a talk a couple of months ago, and on one of the slides I said, and it was talking about parenthood, and I said, be an example even when you think no one is watching. Because it's one of those things that to be like, oh, well, I won't do the stuff that I know I should because no one's around. But then, you know, I'll just kind of pretend. And I see that so much with young boys these days that, I mean, kids in you know, in this country are being taught they can change their gender from 5-4 years old and God knows what else, which is so confusing for kids. And I look at the kids now who are, you know, teenagers, and I wonder who they look up to for direction or what have you. And I wondered for you, not necessarily growing up, but let's say in the last, you know, say 10 or 15 years, are there people that you've followed that are maybe slightly further ahead in their journey than you were or where you wanted to be? Anybody in particular who you've kind of followed their work?
Yeah, there's a lot of firemen that in the firehouse that I would connect with. And then I'd see things in them that I really admired. And then I would work on that thing. And then I would get there. And then I would see things in that same person that I'm like, nah. No, they're actually kind of fucked up, right? So yeah. I glom onto somebody else and I take some superpowers from them. And then I would just keep moving on and finding these pieces. And then for me recently, it has been the guys that I'm really like learning from right now are Wes Watson is just what my hands down, like he's my, one of my main coaches. He's just foundation for me, and you'll notice even a lot of the things that I say are similar to what he says because we just align on so many things. And then I can take a lot of his message and bring it to fatherhood. I've been really into like Wake Up Warrior has been cool. Garrett White is an interesting character. He is very I'm very drawn to him. You know, He's just a very polarizing human, and he doesn't give a fuck.
I love it. I think
I love people that like, I don't even need to agree with people. Like, I just love people that know who they are and they put it out and they're not afraid of the backlash, you know, because there's a freedom there in yourself. And the other thing I like about him is his opinions change over time and he's not afraid of that. And he's not afraid to say when he was wrong. But he can speak his mind clearly and freely in the moment that he's in and not be afraid of backlash of changing his mind in the future. And so I'm finding this sweet place in my life now where I can just speak my mind. And if someone hates me for it, then fuck them. Like, I don't hate people for what they say.
Yeah.
I forgive people when they change their mind. I forgive myself if I said something to offend someone, or I said it wrong, or I have to re-clarify, I forgive myself. So I expect people to forgive me. And if they don't, then fuck off.
Yeah. I think, you know? you said there, it's especially now with so many, you know, with things online, it's not just people in your communities. It's usually, I mean, you rarely have people around you that will disagree. It will be the people online that when you'll have written something, they'll be like, with their little keyboard going.
Yeah, yeah. And I do appreciate them. I really do, because it's this resistance to question yourself,
yeah,
which is very important. So when people resist what I say, I really like that, because I'm figuring shit out, you know. I'm just going with really where I'm drawn and what I feel. Yeah. And I know I say some polarizing shit, but that's on my heart. That's just on my heart and my mind. So I speak it. And then the best way to work through it and learn is to put it out there, take some heat, you know. And if you're driven by love and open, like, you're going to be drawn to the right place. You know, you're going to find answers.
Things also, I think it's exhausting. I've said for the podcast, like, I say whatever I want and with no filter. And therefore, you're either like what I say or it doesn't resonate with you. But if it does, then great. You'll be a guy alongside me. And if not, then you'll go and find someone else who you find as interesting. But even with Wake Up Warrior, I mean, I thought it was really good how, like you said, he's got very strong opinions on the jabs, which have been rolled out and all the different things. And I'm like, great, you show me all these opinions, but so many different opinions, if they were the wrong opinion, were being censored in the last 2 years, which I found a real frustration, because you'd say, listen, you know, on various things, we're not being shown what we should be being shown, and you're making decisions about that. But at least he was one that said, you know what, fuck it, I will say what I think, and if you don't like it, you can shove it.
Yeah, and I want to hear what people have to say. I want to hear the sides, and I want to make my brain turn in a knot and think about things and make my own opinion. But if you're not hearing other people's sides, you can't ever really know. You know, you can't challenge yourself to really, really understand what you believe and what you stand for.
I think it's so important. And these days, you've got guys who are afraid to say anything, like afraid to have an opinion because someone won't like it. And you're like, dude, that's not living. You know, that is kind of sitting at the back of the class with your thumb up your ass.
It's so true. And I mean, I still am afraid. Like, I'm afraid of the reproach of man. I know it doesn't seem like it the way I talk, but sometimes when things leave my mouth, I'm like, oh shit, that could go that could go south for me. But I don't want to censor myself anymore. I want to talk to the world the same way I would talk with a friend behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Because to me, that is real authenticity. And the world needs authentic people. Authenticity is absolute power. It is superpower. And if we could get more people there, I mean, that's what I work on with my men, to be authentic with themselves first, then authentic with their wives, and then with the world. You know how many men are fake as fuck with themselves and their wives? They're just so full of lies. They lie to themselves. They hold back from their wife. If you're holding anything back from your wife, you cannot spiritually connect at the level at which you possibly could. You have no idea the connection you can have with your wife when you're completely and utterly open with her, with everything, all your addictions, your fears, your struggles, your dreams. Like, if you can share that with her, even though it's awkward and uncomfortable, but you can go there and take her there, you're afraid of showing your secret self. It's your secret self that will connect you to her, and she'll love you more for it.
I bet that some of the guys, even as you said that for me, but I bet some of the guys, their fucking heads exploding, because you're like, you know, so many, especially when I worked in the city. So for 20 years, I would sit, you know, basically in a room as a money markets broker with, 300 or 400 other guys. And you'd see a completely different guy at Christmas. The wives and the girlfriends were allowed to come in on one day with the kids. And the guys would be like, hey, darling, hi, how are you doing? And then when they're gone, you're like, what the fuck are you speaking like that for? You're totally different. So I've been working on that, of trying to, be as open and honest with my partner Emma as I can. But it's
reprogramming. It is a reprogramming. You know, like, emotionally, sexually, everything. Just, it's a reprogramming of being completely your true self, open-hearted and real with your wife. And we haven't done it. I wasn't like that for like 15 years of our marriage. So I had to just like go into this very uncomfortable place of these conversations that were like very uncomfortable.
Yes.
And so this is going back to like doing hard shit.
Yeah.
Like getting being able to get into the difficult position to make the progress that you need. It's always going to be.
There's a challenge for guys. And even as we were talking, I was thinking like this evening, you know, sometimes I've got loads more work to do because I got derailed today by 2 hours by this locked fucking door that we couldn't get open. But it's like, make sure I interviewed a pastor called Jim Kyles, who's based out in Texas a couple of months ago. And he was very much, you know, never take away the time from your family. Like if you need to do other stuff like exercise or whatever, go and do it at fucking night or in the morning, but make sure you're there for your kids. But one of the things I wanted to touch on was food, because I mean, you're a big guy and you have, I would guess you eat a lot, and I'm not massive, but I also eat a lot. And people always used to say to me, if you keep eating like that, you'll get fat. And I was like, what? Loads of meat, like good quality meat and fish and eggs and cheese and vegetables. I think I'll be okay. So what are your things that you eat as a, not just as yourself, but as a family as well, big into meat?
Yeah. I mean, it's like meat, fruit, vegetables, pretty much. Like that's pretty much it. I'll have some Greek yogurt and like some cottage cheese. Every once in a while I do protein scoops, not a ton, but like I'll do some protein powder. But like that's pretty much it, man. I give myself like some wheat bread. That's like my treat. Now this is fairly recent. Like I've been doing this for like 3 months now, where I'm just completely gotten rid of all the bullshit.
Yeah.
You get a really good physique, like you don't have to do that. In fact, it's not actually the answer, because you can still eat too much when eating whole foods. You can, like, you can get fat eating whole foods. Guys do it. They'll usually eat a lot of avocados, a lot of nuts, a lot of really, really fatty cuts of meat, and then like just stuff themselves. So it is possible to gain fat eating whole foods. Difficult. Like you got to try.
Yeah. You've got to work at it.
Processed shit and like treats and chips, like not a problem. McDonald's, like you're going to get fat very easily. Right.
Yeah.
Very like just calorically dense, but just not big food, but tons of calories in them.
Mm.
So for me, the reason why I did that is not for any health reasons at all. It was spiritually. I was pulled in that direction. It's like time to give up the bullshit. Like you lead men who have addictions and you are trying to still hold on to yours.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck.
You're like, whoa.
Like that was the message I received. Was like, you're gonna lead a nation of men, but you're too much of a bitch to give up your own addictions. Mm. And my addictions at this point, just little processed food snacks, you know.
Yeah,
I was still ripped, but I could get away with eating some shit because I'm already there, you know. And then I could work out a little more. It's not a big deal. I could always keep this physique and still eat some shit. But I'm telling my guys to keep it together. They're in a deep deficit. They're trying to burn the fat. I got guys trying to lose 100 pounds in the shit. They've been in the shit for 6 months, like battle fatigue, you know? And I'm sitting here eating fucking donuts because I can. Fuck that, dude. I will lead by example, you know? Yeah. So I'll deal with my own addictions.
I think that's so important. And you've just said a word that it's funny on my podcast. Sometimes I'll put a few bullet points down and often the guy will kind of trigger the word just before we get to it. But you said about leading and I had leadership written down because I know for you, as you said, you've got an example as a leader for your family, but also for superhuman fathers. And I wondered, let's go to the higher level of leadership in the US, like with the presidency, because I never used to pay attention to any of that up until about 2 or 3 years ago. And then I paid much more attention. So what's the general consensus of the leadership of Sleepy Joe Biden at the moment?
Fuck, dude. I've literally like, and this actually could be a fault of mine, but bro, I don't even give a fuck. I'm like, my family, my extended family, my team that works for me, and superhuman fathers, that's my little country, that's my army, and we're just preparing for whatever fucking war comes. Like what, like we're gonna prepare to take care of each other, we're gonna have our own tribe, and whatever the fuck happens, we will be ready. And and everybody else, like,
yep, doesn't matter.
I can't help them. And like, you know, I'll vote, but I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck this does right now. Yeah. Like, throw it into this, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to take care of my people.
Yeah. Isn't that important? I mean, you've just said it there about, you know, for me, the community around you is so valuable. And it's amazing how many people will, I mean, it was months ago, I was talking to a lady who said, whose son is, I think, let's say 18, 19. And she said, oh, he's thinking about going out and he's just got a normal job locally. He's not doing anything in the military. She's always thinking of going out and volunteering out in fighting in Ukraine. And I was like, what? And she said, yeah, he's going to do that. And I was like, just remind me, what does he do for his local community? Well, I'll tell you, fuck all. And you're like, yep. But he's just been watching the news and therefore he decided this would be an adventure, but you'll end up coming back in a body bag. So I was like, start with your community, see what you can do there first.
How many shitty dads are always talking about politics? It's like all of them, like blah, 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 negativity. And they're just a shit. They don't pay attention to their families. Like, you're so fucking backwards, dude. Like, get your shit together. And then this whole idea of like doing the big shit, everybody's like, I'm going to run a marathon, but they haven't worked out in three years or like, I'm going to do the Goggins challenge it's like, how about you just get up early, start going to the gym, start eating right. Like, let's just start with a baseline. You can't make up for all your shittiness by doing one big giant event and then be like, oh, see, I'm not that bad. And then go back to your old ways. Cause that's what happens.
Yeah.
So instead of like trying to climb Mount Everest every once in a while, like, how about get something that you can show up for every day, every day, and just add a little bit more and a little bit more. And as you can manage more, just keep adding more. Do that over 20 years. You become a machine.
See what happens. I think it's so important because a lot of guys, like you say, will actually, maybe they need to get to a point where they've reached some kind of low where they think, I need to make a change. Because it's easy to just fucking roll on with the same excuses, the same body, the same performance. And then one day you either need someone or something to happen to be like, right, it's a fucking, I was going to say a shot in the arm. That's a poor choice of words these days. But it's a lightning bolt for you. And I just wonder what does, let's say, the next year look like, or year forwards with Superhuman Fathers? Like, where do you take it from here? I mean, up and out, I'm guessing, but because I'm interested from...
building a foundation right now to explode. So, you know, we grew massively. It was an impossible dream to accomplish the last year. And it was just me and my brother. And then we hired one other coach. So there was only three of us. And so I've hired now five more people and pumped every bit of money I've made back into the business to build a foundation, to build something that's going to literally change the world. And so I'm ready to burn this to the fucking ground, whatever it takes. So, you know, which is scary because I could sit here and have a pretty fat bank account and just keep it fairly small and do really well. But what's that going to do for my leadership, man? Sit here and fucking play safe and tell the guys, hey, get after it in life. Push it. Take risks. Have an adventure. And then I'm sitting here misering all my shit.
So, and I was going to say, because you said, you know, about like Wake Up Warrior. I mean, you know, that's a great example of it's taken a long time, but that is huge now. And I think it's important to show that shows there's an appetite for... you know, that kind of real talk, men getting together, challenging each other, being okay with saying what you've fucked up and what you're scared of and what have you, and trying to break through it. And I wondered, if have you ever what's the guy called, the Order of Man as well, so Ryan Mishler?
I love his writing.
Yeah,
I've been following him for a long time. He's epic.
Yeah, we
come out with some epic writing about like his alcoholism and his escape from that. Like, so rad. I love it, because that's the shit men need to hear, is like, hey, this guy struggles, and watch what he does. And so, you know, he's like, you can even see it in his pictures, like that he looks better, he looks happier. And that now he's sharing that with people. I was just really, really like happy that he came out with that and was just upfront and real with that. Cause I know that's scary and hard to do, especially when you're already on a pedestal, you know?
Yeah. No, I think I read that, and you're right. Really, I think it is
utmost respect.
It's on being honest, especially when, like you say, you're on a pedestal, because it'd be easy to, as you said, to kind of be like, well, a lot of guys look up to me now, so am I going to spoil things? But yeah, I'm the same. So
burn it down. Fucking burn it down. You know, when you have that attitude, it's all you, like, you're authentic. He's being authentic and real.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. And that's, I mean, it pissed me off because before lockdowns of 2020, you know, we'd had our first 12 events in London, guys getting together. We had 65 guys come to our biggest event, which was awesome. And we just started doing dinners as well as full day events in stylish locations and speakers and like just all the stuff you said. You know, it was in the city, not outside, but still it was powerful events. And we had, you know, guys from all different sectors speaking, and then lockdowns completely fucked it. And it was hard to get that going again, because then the restrictions had stopped a lot of people from either traveling or what have you. But we just this year want to, there's a former fireman who I have really connected with, who reminds me of yourself in the fact of, you know, a no nonsense attitude, which I love. And he's very much about getting guys together. So we're looking to do exactly the same of, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy, no frills. It's get together and see what we can create, to be honest.
Dude, just get a app where you can do their workouts, do Zoom calls, and then create an environment where they can be honest with each other, like, and then lead by example.
No, I like it. That's
the most important part.
What about travel for you? Have you either ever been to the UK, or would that ever be a?
I've never been, man. I've never been to Europe. Isn't it crazy? Like,
yeah.
I grew up just kind of like Southern California. We didn't really go anywhere. West Coast. Grandma lived in Washington, a little up north, and we went to Utah a couple times to ski, and then that was it. You know, like, I just made it to the East Coast the first time last week.
Yeah,
US.
But at least where you are, you can travel. You know, if you want to go somewhere skiing, you can go. If you want to go to the beach, you've got it.
Everything's pretty close.
I get it. Why? I mean, the guy in Washington State, you know, said to me, "That's why most people in the US, they don't need to leave the US because they've got everything there."
All right here. Yeah,
I get it. I've been to Ohio, so I was out there a few years ago for the obstacle course racing world championships. I competed out there. And that was amazing. Like, the obstacles and everything was really cool. San Diego, San Francisco, all these different, like Yosemite Park and that. So I've ventured over a bit and want to come back at some point when some sensibility returns to restrictions and things like that. So what time is it then? What's the rest of the day look like for you?
It's 9 a.m. So I've got another podcast right after this. And then I will go right into 4 hours of writing.
Yep.
I've got to write this book. My operations guy is all over me, man. He's like, I need this done.
Come on.
Bust my balls, man. He's great. That's why I hired him, because he's all over me. Like, he's the boss. I am not the boss. He is the boss of me. And he makes sure that I know that. And I love it, because he puts the pressure on me to get shit done and produce. I get distracted so easily. I'm a creative. So, like, I'll start editing videos and then get this idea for this concept of, and then I'll like see my guitar and have this song in mind, and I'll start writing music, and then I'll be halfway through that, and then I'll film a little bit of it, make a clip, and then I'll start talking to my media guy and like having this idea.
Yeah.
Then I'll start doing visionary shit of what we're going to do with events, and I'm a squirrel.
Yeah.
And so he's just got me dialed in. Like, he's like, you have one job. He's like, we're taking care of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
One job. So my job is podcasts, write this book. And right now, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Like, that needs to happen.
I laugh because I've so much that myself, where, because you can go anywhere with Superhuman Fathers, as it were. So you could be like Instagram posts. You could do LinkedIn if you wanted. You could do YouTube, you know, a podcast, events. You could have a merch line, all these things. And I'm the same. And you're like, sometimes you have to go, no, stop. Just, what have I got to get done today before I get excited?
Dude, he's got me so clear. Like, we have our first quarter goals. And if anything isn't on there, like, you don't do it. He's like, cool, great idea. I'll write it down. Now shut up and get to work. Mm-hmm. So it's like very focused on like, I have like four things. We're working on our event. I'm writing my book, do podcasts, go to events.
Yeah.
And then I work on content, of course, too. Yep. But like, those are my things. Like, that's all I do right now, you know?
I think it's important, like, for guys listening to just be like, sometimes you've got to get something done and not be, the shiny object syndrome.
But don't get me wrong, like, building something from scratch when you don't have other people doing things, it's fucking crazy. So, yeah. Like, the last 2 years were so insane, taking this from 0 to 100. Like 20, there I was working 24-hour days at a point,
yeah,
for like a year.
You're learning and making mistakes and everything going along the way.
It was gnarly.
Well, I hope I'm going to be watching. This will go out in 2 weeks' time, but I'm going to be watching you guys grow over there and see how it goes. Because again, similar to us, you know, we want to have events and grow the Holman Academy to reach more men, to have more impact. So I'm looking.
Yeah, hit me up anytime with questions and stuff. We've kind of figured some shit out.
Yeah,
that works and made some mistakes and learning.
That's fantastic. It's always good to connect with more men who are trying to do some good in the world, so, as things get even crazier. But right, well, thank you. I know you've got a next one to get onto as well, so we'll get you off of here. But I'll make sure all your details are in the show notes if any guys want to follow you or get in touch. And I'm sure we will speak to you again at some point on the podcast.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Carl. Cheers, man.
Thanks for listening. Remember to sign up to our game-changing weekly e-letter that's read by men around the world. Sign up at holemanacademy.com/movement. Until next time.